This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part one of our November 10th, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show.
Doan. James Doan.
Where is 006.9 now?
He's on a mission, sir.
Do you expect me to talk?
Excellent plan, Mr. Doan. Look out, James!
Let me try and enlarge your vocabulary.
Oh, hey, my drink!
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Use your next witticism carefully.
I want to be covered in drugs.
One day we must invent a faster working venom.
Yeah.
They cannot counterfeit gold.
The only gold I know about is the kind you wear.
Every law is backed by bullets.
Bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Doom, I like that.
It's one of the best intros. I mean, if you listen
to it. It's one of the top three.
Well, yeah. All right. No, but I mean, it says so much, especially today. Remember, that intro was done, what, a year, 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's James Bond and Jimmy Doan.
Right. Yeah. But listen, but today, it's so prescient when you figure the counterfeiter, I mean, in the last, you know, 6 months, 8 months, they've counterfeited up like $2 trillion. Gold has gone from $600 to $1,000, $1,100.
Right. It was the secret message in that intro.
It wasn't that secret. You know, if you didn't do it, I did get an email from Gene, who took our advice.
So bought some gold.
He's a happy man.
He is a happy man.
He's the hanger dog.
He's the hanger dog.
Man, I mean, I made 30% on gold since March.
I'll tell you, Jimmy's done actually a little better than that because Jimmy's leveraged to the eyeballs. But anyway, so the core crowd is here today.
Yes.
Yep.
This is a Counselor Curtis.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Engineer Eric.
Hey, what's happening?
This is going to be a good show, even though it's been well over a month since we were on.
Yeah, this is our longest hiatus ever.
Longest hiatus ever.
Man.
And actually, we had a little longer between the Hot Talk 1430 days and
the first.
That was like 6 years.
Right.
We'll try. It's been about 7 or 8 weeks, but the deal is we
get our satellite up and they can't.
Well, you know what was interesting? I went ahead and checked our web stats for the month of October when we did no podcast.
Right.
We almost set a record for the number of people.
Well, that's our formula.
Our formula is don't bother with it.
Right. Don't do it. Man. We're going for a record. Right.
So we had, unfortunately, we missed a lot of the news.
Right. You know, since the last time we were on, we had that really successful Cash for Clunkers program.
Right.
And then the economy's all fixed, right?
It's just about fixed. They're coming out and saying the green shoots are greening, and recession was over. Recession was over in June.
Right.
And, of course, there's a little bit of a problem because unemployment is now over 10%.
Right.
And that's the... You have to understand, that has with the rose-colored glasses all over it because that's the official government figure.
Right.
So we know that there's this possibility that they've glossed over some of the...
With the real,
underemployment, the real picture of what's going on. But the interesting thing, the latest stuff, of course, has to do with what they're trying to do to pump this thing back up. They're talking about, they extended the unemployment benefits to 99 weeks now you can be out of work.
Yeah, I know. Unemployment benefits. So that's going to create jobs. A lot of my friends who are on unemployment have a great idea, and all they need is a couple of unemployment checks to launch a new business.
Yeah.
And then I tell you what else they've came up with, which I thought was brilliant, and that is tax cuts to get people into housing.
Yeah, they expanded. What happened was the $8,000 first-time buyer credit.
Right.
They had a credit. And that money just disappeared. You know, so they decided that's such a good program. They're doing it again. And, of course, the whole problem, the reason we're in this problem in the first place is putting people in houses that they couldn't afford.
Exactly.
Right.
So let's do it again.
Right. Oh, yeah. Double down.
Well, the FDIC now is running out of money. They were never supposed to run out of money, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So I think that's the last one to fall. They were supposed to have a $40 or $50 billion cushion down to $7 billion.
And they got 2%. They got nothing.
They got nothing. Yeah. Let me just, before we get totally started here, let me make a few notes.
Woohoo!
Tomorrow is Armistice Day, 11-11-11, whatever it is, the 11th day, 11th hour, whatever stuff is.
Yes.
I think they're now calling it Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans. They are, yeah.
Okay, it used to be called Armistice Day because that's when they signed the peace treaty.
Right, right. That was
the First World War. And that I can appreciate.
You can't really say Happy Veterans Day, can you?
No, but you can close the banks, and you know, no banking tomorrow, and I'm sure that all the government offices will be closed.
thank you to all the veterans.
Yeah, that's right. And also, like yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I remember.
Very significant.
Very significant. It was. Jimmy has traveled behind the Berlin Wall before.
Yeah.
It came down several times. And
they saw you on the other side, Jimmy.
That's right. Well, no, I mean, I got inspected. Let me tell you. You think TSA?
Oh.
TSA is bad. I mean, TSA is bad, okay? And there's some
Hans
fat lady there, and they can
you.
Give you the cavity search. But, I mean, when you've got some 17-year-old Russian guy with an AK-47 who tells you to take off your sunglasses, believe me. You...
I saw a bug.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you. You know, and it is just funny because I'm on this tour bus with.
He was in disguise.
In the tour bus with, you know, 40 people on this bus. We're going through Checkpoint Charlie. You have to kind of weave through so that because of all the big concrete and everything that's there. And then they come by and they inspect everybody. And, you know, I'm dressed like in a Hawaiian shirt, camera around my neck. I look like, you know, shorts.
A spy.
Yes,
but
you know, shorts, you know, leather shoes with white socks. I mean, I'm, you know, the right out of the tourist from hell, Miami tourist from hell. And all of us
too
are like
conspicuous.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
I mean, no, really. I mean, super loud shirt, everything like that. You know, oh, I'm a spy. Right. So, but I mean, that
maintain a low profile dome.
Didn't even try. No, I was out there doing high profile to beat the band. It was great. Now, the other thing I did want to mention, I listened to a little of Stefan Molyneux. He's doing pretty well. That's freedommainradio.com. And I also, because I was listening to one of his talks that he gave. He does a lot of YouTube videos now too, which are, you know, interesting. The video doesn't add much because he's just standing there talking. But I record the sometimes his philosophy and so forth that he's talking about. But I did get a hold of two new podcasts.
That could be Jack Rhodes.
It could be.
Jack Rhodes.
Oh! It's Jack Rhodes.
Wait, I think Nancy Pelosi's on the line, too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I mean, we're probably under surveillance.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking out my window now. They're waving at me.
Okay, well, fortunately, you're there and we're here.
We're not doing our job if we're not under surveillance.
Yeah, that's right.
I must mention my window is a small, narrow little window about, you know, eye height.
9 feet
I am in
air.
The bunker.
Oh, okay.
I see. I thought you were talking about the window where the certified clang of the door when the officers on the other side clang it shut for you. No, you're in your bunker. Okay, good.
Relax. I built a bomb shelter.
That's right.
All right, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So how are you doing?
I am doing well. Doing well.
Let me just finish this one little thing, and we're going to get there, and then we'll get into the local, national, and state
healthcare.
Stuff. Healthcare,
all right. Sounds good.
But two new podcasts I've discovered, and they're really good. One of them is called,
First thing you can do, you got to plug somebody else's show.
I don't. Hey, they'll come back. It'll come back. But I mean, this is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
School Sucks is the name of the podcast, and it's
a good name.
And the guy's really good. I think, as I recall, the website is edu-lu-tion, edulution or something like that.
Okay.
But if you look under School Sucks podcast, it's on iTunes, and he's there.
All right. Is it a team, one guy, two guys? What is it?
It's one guy, and he's a 31-year-old teacher, and boy, he's really good. He's up in New Hampshire, I guess.
We'll put a link to it. Oh, look at that, BJ.
Oh my God.
Jumped in front of him.
So wait a second. Is he a teacher in the public school system?
He now teaches private. He does preps for SATs. No more
government work for him.
No. And when you listen to the pod, he's got a whole series on School Sucks.
Okay, so the government wouldn't take him back even if he wanted.
I don't think so at this point. So the other one is called the Complete Liberty Podcast, and I've just started, and that's all I can tell you is that.
All right, okay, let's get into the news.
Okay, because before we're all done, maybe in the second part, I want to talk about The Road to Serfdom, too, which I'm finally finishing up.
Okay, you need a drink of water.
Let's see, what's in the news today?
Okay, this is really bad. This is really, nationally, healthcare.
Awful.
We're dead. The
House, it was only in the House.
Only in the House. Yeah. But it is, but we did pull off.
In my house.
Some of the, we did pull off some of the stuff that's, is there. Government force at the heart of Obamacare. Let's see what here. I want to get this down. Of course, we should be called the anti-health care bill because, I mean, it does everything in the world against you.
Did you read all this stuff?
Well, we got to get into Fort Hood.
Not really. I tell you the truth, I don't much care about the Fort Hood thing.
Oh, no, we'll talk about it.
Okay, well, you could talk about it. Jimmy doesn't really care much about that.
The jihadist kook?
Yeah, no. Big deal. So what? It happens.
Yeah, it's that guy just went crazy. Where's the news?
Yeah, what's the news? Right. I that was one of the reasons I never took Psych 102, is because I was in 101. I realized half the class was crazy.
So the fact that he was on the way into the... and while he was unloading the pistols, that doesn't mean much or not?
Not to me.
No,
me neither. It happens.
It's not terrorism, you're saying?
No. It's not that. It's the guy. Look, it's going postal on the... I mean, you should have known the guy was upset.
Right, exactly. Well, that's a good, you brought up a good point there. We should have known. I use the term we loosely.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not much different from some postal employee going nuts and...
Well, I think it is in the sense that what was his reasoning behind it?
Jack, could you take over the show?
Is bummed with the individual. It's a criminal act. In this case, it seems like he might have. They've certainly already, even on mainstream news, said he's contacted part of Al Qaeda.
Yeah.
So that would imply he has alternative motives, i.e., domestic terrorism.
So okay. What is that out, difference does that make to you?
Yeah.
What
difference does that make to you whether he's connected with Al Qaeda or connected with Timothy McVeigh or something or just crazy?
Well, I think the difference would only be from the discussion standpoint of when and why and how and back to the why.
Jack wants to kill all the Muslims.
not all of them.
But we certainly need to not the Muslims. It's the extremists. It's the Muslim extremists or whatever extremists.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Well, let me tell you what is important about this is that apparently all of the signs were there. I mean, for 6 months or a year or something. Apparently there was lots of bells, whistles, red flags. Rockets glaring in the air and everything.
That's right. That's
apparently that was, and because of political correctness, it was kind of overlooked sort of thing.
Right.
But what it points out is that here we are in the United States, and we've got the TSA, and we've got which I'm going to talk about, the FBI surveillance. They're putting 1,600 people a day on the watch list, the FBI is. And
Jimmy Doan check.
So the point is that here they are claiming how they can go out and protect us, and here's a guy who practically said, I'm going to go in and kill a bunch of people, and they didn't, and they weren't protected. I mean, on a military base, for God's sake.
Right.
So here's the deal. Protect me? I don't think so. If you can't, here you've got a multi-billion dollar protection racket going on in this country, on the borders, on every airline, in every airport. Now, the buses, the whole deal, the surveillance, the wiretaps, the whole deal, and freedom's down the toilet. And all of a sudden, here's a guy who carries a sandwich sign and says, "I'm going to kill people," where it walks in the door and blasts it all up. And if you can't, here's the deal. Yeah. What is all what's the billions of dollars going to protect me from? I don't think so.
Here's what I get pissed off about, Jimmy. They expect it to happen like right here in Alachua County.
Right.
I mean, I'm walking through the courthouse metal detector and I'm taking off my belt. There's something about a whole bunch of grown men standing at the front of a courthouse outside of like a ladies' room putting them on their belts. That's like...
I like that.
Yeah.
it makes... I was talking to several people that were traveling. In fact, Will Hammond will be over here on the 17th. I think we're doing another show, maybe.
That's, of course, not his real name, folks.
Right. But the fact is that he says, you know, boy, I tell you, it makes traveling so much fun. I mean, nobody wants to travel anymore.
No, that's right.
Even my buddy Jeff from Norway, he's over here. He goes, so, you know, it's I'm ready for the cavity search. You know, the second I get on the plane, I'm ready for it, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, as I mentioned this, I think, on one of the very first Jimmy Doan shows, is if you've lost your freedoms in this country, even if, you know, even if it's, even if your local FBI, your local TSA, your local neighbor is the one doing the cavity search, I mean, if you've lost your freedoms, they've won.
Right.
They won. I mean, that's all, you know, they may not think they've won, but as far as I'm concerned, they whomped up on us. If I'm under surveillance all the time, if I have to do a, you know, strip down to go take an airplane ride.
That's the problem with this particular situation, is because, you know, okay, sure, the guy was disgruntled, and sure, he was Muslim, all right, but he really didn't walk in with a sandwich shine. And, you know, so now it's going to be even stricter scrutiny for those people.
Right, right.
And, you know, you say that we have PC rules protecting all those people who look guilty. The flip side of that coin is, you know, these people get targeted because they get profiled, man. So,
well, who profiles them, though? I mean, that was the thing. I would think that if I was in a platoon, and one of my members of the platoon was bowing down to the East six times a day, after this, I would be sitting there saying, buddy, how you doing? Are we okay on this?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to have to do
his rank was called into question and the ability, but I agree. Even if it's a top general, you need to tell on him.
Squealer. Squealer.
Yep.
Well, look.
Say Mohammed Atta's brother might be my roommate.
You know, everybody is keeping their eyes open, I think. I mean, you know,
apparently not good enough.
Look, all of the real signs were on the last day. Okay, and so
that's not the way I understand.
Yeah, I heard some stuff that it was a lot more than that.
Yeah, for months, if not years.
Yeah, apparently there's been quite a bit.
I'm telling you, the way that I heard it was, the stuff that was months and years was stuff like he's upset about Iran, he's upset about this, he's upset about that. Like, but only in the last day did he do stuff like give away his Koran.
Well, no, but I mean, the other thing was, apparently they found some. Didn't he make a telephone call to Osama bin Yemen?
Well, he used
something?
A couple of emails to an Al Qaeda operator.
Well, you know, I mean,
supposed to be,
he used the neighbor's.
Apparently, we're not under that much surveillance, or maybe we are, but he's not.
He used the neighbor's computer.
Ah, okay.
He did. No, he literally did. They had him on. They had the neighbor on TV. Some old black guy. You know, like, you know, he was like, "I hope
you racist."
You're allowed to
you
say
racist
black.
Pig.
I'm black. This is Counselor Curtis.
But you are black.
I'm black. That's true.
All right. Well, anyway, so he's gonna have a fun time since he's still alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be something else.
Yeah. Oh, for his punishment, they're just gonna let him back down and then to go back to the base.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We returned you to service. Yeah. You know, you think about it like,
let's buy him a condo right there, you know.
Has anybody heard about his condition since this all started?
Hey, apparently he was in critical condition.
Yeah,
critical,
I bet.
Stable critical.
Yeah, I bet he was in and out of stable and critical condition, you know.
I wonder
how waterboarding affects the guy who's already been shot a bunch of times.
Wait, he's in stable. No, now he's critical.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, he's back to stable.
Yeah. Oh, no, critical.
Oh, he's critical. His head's underwater critical. Oh, he's stable. He's up. He's up.
Exactly. Oh, that looked like it hurt. Oh, that looks critical.
That looks painful.
Well, he's, of course, he's going to be in much better shape as soon as Obamacare shows up.
Right.
Oh,
well,
sure.
Well, you were just getting onto the, you were at an article that you're about to launch.
Yes, Jack hijacked that entire issue.
Totally
right
hijacked
there.
Right. Digress.
Yeah,
well,
and welcome
because
back
I wanted to give everybody
show.
The first digression shot of the show.
All right, so healthcare, Jimmy.
Hang up that phone.
Yeah, hang it up. Hey, Jimmy, healthcare, what happened? What happened, Jimmy?
Okay.
I thought they didn't have the votes, Jimmy.
They bribed them right and left, I'm telling you. They made a list.
They called in the good hookers for this one.
Hookers. I mean, and Washington's got some too. I can tell you.
Trisexual hookers.
Somebody, trisexual.
I mean,
you don't
Barney,
even
Barney
want to know.
Frank called in the quiz.
Whatever they had to do, you know, somebody went into the office and said, "Okay, what do you guys want?
Yeah, no,
what do you want?"
They got. I mean, literally, they went down the list, and of course, it only passed the House by 5 votes.
Right.
Of course, the vote was 11 o'clock at night. I mean, they were out. They worked for a week to get that margin. And
I was watching it live.
Were you?
I was.
You have no life.
Absolutely.
No life.
You have no life.
It's the only channel I get here in the bunker.
Ah! it sounds like I'd rather be waterboarded, I think. If that's the only channel you get, boy, I'll tell you.
Oh, it was. It was.
Well, awesome. Anyway, they had, of course, it's a 2,000-page. Jimmy pulled down a PDF file of at least one of the bills that was going through there and went through to see what some of this stuff, if it was actually true. Two things. One is they had to bribe several congressmen literally with tens, if not hundreds.
A year supply of Krishan chocolate.
Well, don't you wish.
One of our sponsors.
One of our sponsors, that's right. The deal is, though, there was somebody that got $120 million for his district, and surprise, surprise, switched his vote. Apparently there was a lot of that that went on, and in this 2,000-page, to buy off the people to make sure that they got over the thing. And, of course, they're calling it bipartisan because Wing Chow Nu or whatever it is from Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. If they call this bipartisan, man.
Yeah, no. They said it gave him bipartisan cover because one Republican he's an appointee, number one, and there's no chance he's going to win another thing. He's from a, 100% Vietnamese district or something down there in Louisiana.
Right, wow, or whatever.
It's so disingenuous. It's like when they say, well, the American people voted for this. Voted us
bipartisan.
In. They voted us in, so this is what they're asking for.
Right, have a mandate.
Right.
A mandate, because we got, 40...
I'd say we go down there and cane his ass.
Well, no, it doesn't make any difference. His vote wouldn't have made... Because they won it by 5 votes, and so it basically was a Democrat thing. And it was interesting, because 39 Democrats voted against it, which I thought was kind of interesting. You understand that a year from today... the election will be over on every single House member, and they'll know whether they made it back or not. So that'll be...
It's going to be interesting to see, Jimmy. What are our cost projections on this thing?
Well, of course, that's what a joke.
I know. That's why I'm talking about our cost projections.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Now, they're saying it's $1 trillion now, okay?
Right. Yeah, they actually got it. They finagled it to get it under a trillion so they didn't have to pass into the magic 10, 12, 15, 14 figures, whatever.
Oh, finagled it. Man, they used
here's how they, here's
more
the, here,
lube.
Here's,
than...
the, here's the major way they finagled it.
Oh, they lied.
Well, what they did is the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, had to do a 10-year projection. Okay, now they're assuming that this bill is going to get passed in 2010. Or take effect supposedly in 2010. So they did a projection from 2010 to 2020. It turns out that nothing happens until 2013. So basically, there's no... They are averaging 10 years over 6 years, is what it means.
Right, right.
And so obviously the...
A little accounting magic.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to understand, when you got three zeros in the beginning, you can go up...
It helps the average.
Yeah, it helps the average, right. So that was one of the major things. But the main thing that's happening here, and it was interesting, because in 1960, and you can pull this up all over YouTube, in 1960... Ronald Reagan gave a speech to somebody, and it's on YouTube. He gave a speech talking about how it is the socialism comes through medical care. And he says that's where it's going to come from. That's the ultimate thing. It's 1960 he gave this speech. And
really?
He talked about it. And he was really, and it's a very good speech. And you, as I say, you can pull it up all over YouTube. And, and here we are. He's lucky because he's dead. So he doesn't have to, live under this stuff. But
okay, so here's my projection is $2 trillion.
By the way, we'll put a link to that Reagan speech.
Thank you. I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
Well, no, the thing about this is so funny is that the cost projections are a joke. As we know, when Medicare, I'll never forget when I called up C-SPAN in 1990. This is after Medicare was passed in 1965 or something. And at that point, the projected cost was $9 billion. In 1990, it was $90 billion. It was 10 times what the projected cost in that year was supposed to be.
And how many years?
Well, it didn't really matter.
34.
The point is that they said by 1990, the cost of Medicare will be $9 billion, is what they said.
Uh-huh.
In 1965.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
In 1965, they said it might be as much as $9 billion by 1990.
Right.
In 1990, it was $90 billion.
We're looking at $10 trillion?
Well, yeah. So it's close. They just have 1 0.
Right. Yeah. It's only a zero, right? Yeah. And it could be on either side,
And a zero is really nothing.
Right. Yeah. So there you have it.
Yeah, right.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
So the point is that the You know, President Obama has gone to great pains to deny the proposed health care reform in a government takeover of the health care system, that it is a government takeover of the health care system. And, quote, nothing could be further from the truth. Well, let me put it this way. It's like the universe. The farther away you get, it circles around and it comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's what it is. I mean, there's no question.
Which means it is exactly next to the truth.
That's precisely. That's exactly what it is. There's no question about it. The further away you get, there you are.
Man, I mean.
So anyway, the deal is that you go through, they've got page numbers and paragraph numbers here on some of the stuff they sent out on H.R. 3962. I love this. Affordable Health Care for America Act, which of course it's not. It is the unaffordable takeover by government stooges. So the deal is that the beauty of this is, when I was talking about the $9 billion versus $90 billion, is look at the success that the government has had with, let's say, Social Security, bankrupt, the war on poverty, no, sorry, got as many, if not more, the war on drugs, lost.
Postal service,
not, you know, we've cut back from whatever it was to, and the price has gone up. How about the bridges falling down? The one thing that they're supposed to take care of that they actually, you can maybe make a case for, is the infrastructure, because since they own the roads and they go across state lines and everything.
Well, remember, the stimulus money is going to do all of that. Didn't they already do that?
Yeah, right. Well, that's why they closed the San Francisco Bay Bridge, because it was in danger of not occurring.
No, they were just inspection.
I don't think so. They had hey, if you call a fallen down girder and a truck overturned inspection, I don't know. That's,
yeah, you know, 10 wires, 9 wires, it's all the same.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's right. There's a little backup built into that.
They only lost one.
So, you know, look at Hurricane Katrina, they did that pretty well. Cash for Clunkers, you know, the Japanese loved that one.
Well, Jimmy, all
the swine flu vaccine, I'm sorry, no, you can't have any. I mean, there isn't a government program out here even recently or something that's 50, 60, 70 years that has been successful. And now?
Well, Jimmy, if any of those programs were really fully funded, then then you'd have seen that.
Right, right. Housing collapse, you know, FHA, VA, Fannie Mae, all boom, gone.
Do you have the sound effects for the sound that the economy makes when it's sucked into a black hole?
Well, the problem is the sound can't escape.
Yeah, I do have it, but the computer would implode as well.
That's right. Anyway, I love this. The thing about the health care bill, and as with any bill, it's 1,994 pages, okay? And I'm telling you right now, if you are going to have a health care bill, the reason you know that 2,000 pages is wrong and you know is because, first of all, it's gibberish. But it should either be one page, which says, we're not going to do it, or it has to be 320 million pages, one page for each person. I mean, anything in between is, they're grouping people into places where they don't belong. The beauty of this, and I started to read, actually, one of them. I looked for the word penalty. I did a search on penalty. I wasn't halfway through, and I stopped counting at 100. I just said, hell with it. I wasn't going to do it anymore. I just skipped
the
through.
The word penalties in the bill over 100 times?
Over 100 times. And that was I only went through maybe not even two-thirds of the way, and I quit.
How do we know that isn't a penalty on the government if they're not giving you something?
Yeah, right. No, I don't think so. I know, in fact, the penalty.
How about the word freedom? Do a search for the word freedom.
Not going to be there much, but here's the
one time.
Here's a
and it was a Freedom of Information Act.
No, yeah, exactly.
That's what it was.
Free domestic violence.
The Cato Institute, of course, they're a libertarian kind of thing. They've done it. Put out a little article here. After all, the bill uses the command shall, as in you shall do this, businesses shall do that, and government shall do some other thing, 3,345 times in this bill, okay? I mean, that's two per page, you know, that you shall do. The bill, it creates 111 government agencies, boards, commissions, and other bureaucracies.
Holy shit.
All overseen by one person, the health czar. The final bill doesn't include this thing called the public option, which is really the government mandate. The public option, in case you don't know, is where you have to buy insurance from the government.
How many times have they made us buy stuff in the 225-year history?
Zero. This is the first time, and that's why they're questioning the constitutionality of it. I mean, it's clearly unconstitutional, but unfortunately, given Wickard v. Filburn and some other things that we know are unconstitutional that passed muster on the courts, it's always a little scary because right. You don't know. But
don't leave it in the judge's hands.
Yeah, right. Well, no, but I mean, hopefully they'll throw it out. But the main thing is there is one other instance where the government did command people to do something, and that's the draft.
Right.
And that's it. But they didn't act. They just took your life rather than your money.
Right.
So, but if that's the only other time that they got away, we don't have it now, of course. And I, but you.
Well, they still paid you even if you were drafted.
Yeah, but still, you know, that, let's face it. I believe that the draft should have been, and I don't believe you should ever have to be able to do that in a country.
Right.
I personally, but anyway, I love this. The government also would undertake comparative and cost-effective research. Now, I mean, here's the guys who can't, who don't know anything about anything, and they're going to actually perform the studies on the cost-effective research and use the results to impose practice guidelines on providers. I mean, you have to ask yourself, here are all these bureaucrats, and they're going to have all their Excel spreadsheets, and they're going to be examining all this stuff, and all these numbers are going to coalesce into something and figure out who gets paid for what and what decides what. This is the ultimate in planning. Given, you know, and the final statement in this is, given that the government has mismanaged everything from cash for clunkers to the swine flu vaccine, not to mention the war in Iraq and the Hurricane Katrina, how much of our health care system do we really want it to control? And, of course, the answer is none.
Well, they're the benevolent people up there that are going to take care of us.
Yeah, well, this brings me to another another point that I can digress actually.
Well,
before you digress, okay. I've got a couple things. In Obama's own words, I'm going to say that this health care ban is unsustainable. I love it. Did you hear the Hanger Dogs drinking game on about, it was like the, remember the Newhart show and everybody walked in and said, hi, Bob, and every time you said, hi, Bob, you had to take a shot or something like that?
No.
Oh, well, anyway, there was some kind of Bob Newhart thing. Well, they came up with one for Obama, and they had a whole list of stuff
that he says
during his speeches. And
I mean,
Pinky's in the background. He goes, oh, okay, yep, oh, I'm drunk. Oh, now I'm alcoholic. Oh, that's jailhouse booze there. Going through it. But EJ also came up with a couple of lists for the name for it, you know, and he's like, stealth care, which should be called instead. And he goes, you won't be able to find a doctor within 30 million more meat bags to the system. Death care, a little too easy. GOP care, die quickly, damn it. Dem care. I'm sorry, sir. Your plan doesn't cover this procedure. You'll have to let Dem care for you. let's see. There's a couple of congressional care system. If we debate your case long enough, it'll only cost about $5,000. I don't know. Liberal care. Where's the prescription pad? Conservative care. Where's the prescription pad? And finally, the top name for our health care system, government care. We couldn't care less.
That's it.
Good one.
Yeah, this is good.
I mean, how many pages was this thing?
It's almost 2,000. It's just short.
Man, I wanted to read it, but I mean, do they have statutes on tape?
Huh?
No, you got to read it. So actually, I just got my copy in the mail. I'm going to go ahead and start reading it now.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't want to look at it. Maybe I could read the Braille version or something.
The Braille version. Yeah.
The audio book.
Right, that's what I want. It's a statutes on tape.
Yeah, right, okay.
We're party of the first part.
So what's the chance of it hasn't passing in the Senate?
Well, that's the other thing. Of course, that's the only saving grace.
They were going to throw you in jail if you didn't buy your own health insurance.
Right, but I think a $250,000 fine, 5 years in jail or something?
Right. They've already talked. Well, I heard on the news today, actually, that they had talked about removing that thing, but then they were talking about, well, we're still going to impose penalties, but the problem is that, well, the penalty is going to be, what if you don't pay the penalty? Well, then, you know, you're going to get going to jail. So
exactly.
It's big catch 22, so we'll see what happens with that.
Actually, it's not much of a, it's pretty much laid out there.
Right.
Not much of a catch 22. That's pretty obvious.
Catch and then a second catch.
Yeah, second catch. Right.
Catch
right.
It is second catch.
That's right. Got him on the, get you on the bounce.
That's right.
That's right.
We got a hook and we got a barb on the hook to keep you on the hook.
So,
it's not a catch and release program.
No. We release you into jail, take your money.
Right.
So anyway, the point is that they go through this stuff and pays $297, a 2.5% tax on individuals who do not purchase the officially approved health insurance. The whole thing is
companies win. The whole thing is the insurance companies are
winning. Not really. They could go. They could easily go out of business if the single payer business comes through.
That's
they'll be out of business.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is the Senate holds the key to this thing blowing up. And one of the things that may or may not happen, and it's the only saving grace on this, only possible saving grace on this, is that
Obama's not going to veto it.
No. But he's not gonna, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how watered down it might be.
Right.
If it says, affordable health care on the top.
Yeah.
And it says, and it, it doesn't matter what he'll sign
bill
it
about
and,
fraud.
In order to be
right,
able to.
Right, right.
So what's the saving grace, Jimmy?
The saving grace is that somehow it gets bottled up in the Senate and that the conference committee cannot put it put together two irreconcilable
differences.
And it the discussion drags on into the serious campaign season.
And
if it drags on into like March mm-hmm. or April when the campaigning, because remember now, a third of the Senate and every single House member is up for election less than a year from now. And and so there's going to be serious. You know, you think you've seen tea parties. You wait till these guys start showing up. Because it's one thing to meet with your constituents. It's something else to run a campaign. And if you're campaigning for re-election or for election, I mean, you actually got somebody on the other side.
Right. Yeah, you know, you're in the streets every day.
Right. And so there, you're going to...
Nagged.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is if he doesn't get it, it's the same thing that happened to Clinton Care. You know, they didn't get it through quickly enough and it
blowed up.
It blowed up. That's right.
Let's take a really quick short break, and then we'll come right back.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back on the Jimmy Doan Show.
The Jimmy Doan Show.
Okay, we're back.
Woo! So, of course, Jack had to come in finally with the...
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm bailing. It's been great. Had a fun time.
All right, thanks so much,
buddy.
Jack.
Yeah. He got your stuff in. He got his stuff in, you notice.
Right.
He's not sticking around for our stuff.
He shoehorned his topics right in there.
Well, I got to go do Hannity in 5 minutes, so I'm out of here.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to tape it.
No. All right, good night.
Okay,
take care, buddy.
All right, well, that's good.
Little Jack Road Show.
Yeah, we got a little Jack Road Show.
Jimmy off, right?
We're moving on. Okay. I'm going to talk about now the what's interesting. Speaking of government plans, the next federal item is that our friend Senator Christopher J. Dodd, Connecticut D, has introduced an 1,136-page bill to regulate risky lending.
Risky lending.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, because... because banks don't care about risk or lending. I mean, risky lending. You know, they don't spend all of their money evaluating risk and what's going to happen.
What is
with
phenomenal
the money
about this, of course, is that we got into this mess. They had all the regulations they'd ever needed to begin with, and then we got into this mess. And if he thinks that Christopher Dodd was one of the premier architects,
yeah, but Jimmy,
and apologists for the way we got into this mess to begin with.
Right.
And to think that he's now coming up with 1,136 pages, which is, of course, you know that there is, you know, porculus all over the place in this thing. but he wants to repair the financial regulatory system, which, of course, he's the one that put it there in the first place. They're talking about weeks of behind-the-scenes negotiations to fix up this bill.
Mm-hmm.
This is the other thing I like. They're going to rewrite major portions of the bill to gain support from more Democrats on the committee, because the bill as it sits, obviously they have to go get the votes. So they go to each committee member and say, what'll it take? How much money do you want in your district to vote for this bill? That's all they do. That's it. I mean, it is buying, as P.J. O'Rourke once said, when buying and selling are controlled by the government, the first thing to get bought and sold are the votes. So,
Jimmy, I have never seen a larger group of people chasing their tail with this kind of regulation and re-regulation. And I mean, they're literally creating it, and then it's exploding, and then they're recreating
it. They get away with it.
That's because nobody's pointing out why it's failing. I mean,
well, you know, that's not true. I mean, I've seen some people that pointed out. I've seen some. Actually, some stuff on C-SPAN.
Well, not
and
nobody, but I'm saying that the general consensus is these guys get away with it. Like you said, they know what they're doing. You know, everybody believes them.
Well, the other thing is they can get away with it because there's only 435 of them in the House. They only have to get 218 or whatever it is votes, and they can bribe that many. Now, to 320 million people, they can bribe 218 of them. So I guess that's what it boils down to. The other thing that's coming along on this, of course, is there is a chapter in here that would give government greater authority to seize large and troubled financial companies. And, of course, who determines whether they're large and whether they're financial? What I thought was interesting, of course,
Caesars.
We talked about this. I think we even talked about this on the
Caesars.
Yeah, that's right. On the last show was the big deal, the whole big deal on the reason they did the bailout was these companies are too big to fail. And now they're bigger. I mean, they've merged them.
Sure,
they're even bigger. I got a note today
from...
Well,
that's what I'm saying, is they keep getting into the market and propping up one corner of it and then moving on to the next and seeing that it doesn't fit right with what they just propped up. So now we got to prop this up. I mean, they're going around in a circle. It's chasing their tail. It's so funny. I mean, you know, oh, we got to do the housing. Oh, no, wait, it's not the housing. It's the banking. Oh, wait, no, I can't do that. You know, I mean, they're just going up and down the cycle. I mean...
Well,
it's the same cycle.
Well, of course, this is one of the major flaws when you try and do planning, because you can't take in one micron of the amount of information you would need to do planning in a free market system. You can't even begin. I mean, it's like the number of decisions that are made daily is like a whole beach full of sand, and you pick up one grain and make a decision, a controlling decision. On all the other ones, and you can't understand why it didn't work out. But we
gave it our best try.
Yeah, and we're smart too. We got a whole bunch of people together, and
the leaders of the banking community.
We got all the data we could get our hands on that day.
Yeah,
which was like a whole lot of stuff.
No, it was pages,
pages and pages, 1,136 pages.
Yeah.
How come it couldn't?
We flew in experts,
and we paid them big money,
man.
So this is, of course, this is the fatal flaw and the fatal conceit of planners.
Right.
Is that they actually think they can plan. I mean, it's the Heisenberg principle or whatever. You know, once you start to do anything, it upsets the apple cart. And the whole point on this is that when you realize that the number of decisions that get your asparagus to your table, that one stalk is 10,000 people are involved in that one. Forget the fact about your electricity, your water, your TV shows, the painted box, you know, everything else. There are in the
asparagus czar.
Yeah, they should have one.
How are we going to know if we're going to get our asparagus on time and ripe and good asparagus and healthy?
We don't. And that's the beauty. If we had an asparagus czar, we would know we'd never see it again.
There would be no such thing as asparagus.
That's right. It would disappear from the lexicon.
War on asparagus.
That's it. Well, that's the way to get it.
Oh, right. Yeah. If you want to get more
asparagus, you declare war on it.
Make it
illegal.
Right.
You bury it in asparagus. Yeah.
I mean, this is the most prime asparagus you'll ever find in your whole life.
You see people walking around with their overcoats in the summertime, you know, and they're opening up. Hey, I got asparagus to you, buddy.
I got some stalks right here.
Yeah. These are good ones. Yeah. It looks like broccoli to me. No, these are asparagus. So anyway.
Jimmy, you know, I have a perfect example of that exact thing. Are you done with that topic? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. I was just reading this thing. This is by I forget whether it's the New York Times or whatever. But the thing is, once again, they want to set up a master organization overall for the lending, and instead of having the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, FDIC, whatever. They're going to put up a new merge, big one now,
right.
into one new agency, create a separate division within that agency to regulate smaller banks. And they're talking about the losers and the, but I mean it's just interesting to see all they care about is getting the votes and a whole host of new regulations.
They're going to be the ones that save it, you know. And the thing is, they're just dumb enough to do it. I mean, they're just, in my opinion, just dumb enough to convince themselves, hey, we can do this, we can fix it. Well, I mean, Obama said
it doesn't really matter, because you see, there's no, look at somebody like Christopher Dodd, who is obvious, and there's some of the other people that are up there that are. Obviously, on their face, these people have no clue what's going on, and this, yet they stay elected. They stay in there collecting $160,000 plus their perks plus everything else. There is no incentive for them to do the right thing.
Well, I think the incentive is if we convince the population of what the right thing is, the representatives sort of fall into line because they want to be reelected. You know,
yeah,
you make
but
an
they,
idea
yeah,
popular.
The thing is, they thing about it is, though, they have managed in the last 40 years or so to stultify the education system so much that they've bred...
and that's why we're here.
The myrmidons that just can't... They're thinkless people. And then there's a whole bunch of them now that are on the government dole. You know, they can't afford it. If somebody said, I'm going to take... We're going to disband
conflict,
Social Security. Disband
that's getting to be a problem. Once that passes about 50%, we're going to
We're real close. I mean, again, remember now, most elections, the turnout is only 50 or 60% in a major election. So you only have to get 30% of your friends, and you win.
Yeah.
And you win a majority of the people that actually vote. So, And a lot of people, as we've talked about, are basically opting out of the system. They're just not going to participate. The fact that you vote gives the system legitimacy. Even if you vote for, you know, the fact that you vote says, okay, I'm going to change the system that is so flawed that it can't be changed, and I'm going to use the system to change the system, but you're still going to end up with a system.
So. Let's take another really quick break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Dan, we're back.
Hey! Well, Jimmy, I got a great point that illustrates what you're just talking about, the law of unintended consequences, which we cover here often.
Yep.
A local issue. They are narrowing our main street here in our local town in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay, this is a main artery where lots and lots of cars go.
Yeah, it's still...
And they decided to narrow it.
Right.
I see.
It's been four lanes for decades. And
because it's Main Street.
Right.
And it's named Main Street. It's the main street.
Exactly. And it still is in this town. A very main artery. Very major. I mean, courthouse is still there. The center of the...
Well, in fact, the brand new courthouse is there.
Right. The center of government is still one block or right directly on Main Street.
Right.
So, okay. So they're narrowing it.
Maybe they want less government.
Right. No.
I love it.
I think what they make it a little more difficult for you to get to the government while they're doing their mischief.
We
don't need those sneaking people in here telling us what to do, man.
You have to get in here. You have a court date, but you got to get through these cars.
You
got
to get through these, right. you got to get down the street to get here, and we're going to just go ahead. Then pretty much they're just going to cut it all off.
Right.
Then they'll have their own little island.
Yeah. And they're going to put
with helicopters and with gunships.
And they'll just what they'll do is they'll fold up all the new regulations and kind of float them out with airplanes, you know, paper airplanes.
Right.
Yeah. Throw them over the moat.
Right. Yeah, that's your notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
So here's Main Street. They're making it two lanes now, and traffic is backed up in every direction. I mean, in both directions.
Well, did they give any reason for this?
Yeah, well, they're going to make it pretty. I mean, they're gonna make it bicycle friendly and put some bricks in, and it's going to be cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to work worth a shit.
Right.
Well, you know what's interesting is that the basic flaw, the overriding basic flaw.
A planner did it?
Well, that's not all. There's a genetic flaw in the whole idea of city-type transportation, and that is, and they'll never fix it the way they're doing it. They try desperately, and that is, you've got the roads, the arteries, whatever it is, and you put on the same artery, you put 50-ton trucks down to pedestrians and everything in between. And then you say, and then you paint a line and say, bicycles don't cross this line. Cars, please don't cross this line. The bicyclists are always complaining because the cars are turning in front of them. And, you know, we got the right of way. And I'm thinking, well, you might have the right of way with a 10-ton truck, but I wouldn't try and enforce it.
Yeah.
And the point is that they are throwing these huge trucks, buses, cars at do the math on the momentum. You know, a 2-ton car at 35 miles an hour. Even if you slow a 2-ton car at 10 miles an hour, will kill you.
You just stop it. You just put out your hand.
Right. You put out your hand. So they got a painted line to separate all this stuff. I mean, you can't. It's like having a zoo where you throw the hamsters in with the elephants and then paint a line in there and say hamsters here, elephants there, and hopefully nobody gets hurt.
Tigers over here, chickens on this side.
You know, I mean, really, it's unbelievable that you've got in this artery to put all of these, literally for pedestrians, when you figure the cross streets and everything.
Sharks on one side, we're pouring the paint down the middle of the square.
I am stunned, actually, that the roads are not littered with corpses. It is a tribute.
Well, it's going to be. The,
well, now,
they
what you're telling me is
they haven't opened up yet.
Okay, go ahead. finish off.
This is the funniest thing, Jimmy, though. Now they did it ostensibly to literally, the real reason is to, quote, cut down on traffic.
Well, they're going to do that.
Why don't you just throw some of those stop spikes out there?
Yeah, right.
So they're shutting it down. Well, lo and behold, what has happened? The roads one block to the east and west of Main Street have now become main arteries to the town. So this little street, which is literally called Pleasant Street, okay, is lined by these little one-bedroom and two-bedroom shanty houses that have been there for 100 years, and these little tiny communities, little old communities, and, you know, on their front porch, people are sitting and, you know, hanging out in their neighborhood community, and now
Now they got people to sell crack to.
Right. Shit.
and the thing about it is, the beauty of it is, you don't look suspicious because you're stopped up there anyway.
Right.
It used to be when you went through those neighborhoods.
Right.
If you stopped, you look suspicious. Now you're just up, and you know.
Right. Just talking with some local girls.
My hand was out, but I was making a turn.
Right.
Oh, and the guy put something in my hand and stole my money at the same time.
I was signaling with my left.
I was signaling.
And his girlfriend got in the back seat with me.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Let me get out of the car here. Let me pull up my pants and I'll get out of the car.
Right.
So we're going downhill from here.
Oh, yeah. This is all.
edit.
What is the address on these places again? I want to find out.
Yeah. It is just so funny. They thought they were going to solve the problem, and they just transferred it one block over.
Let me tell you something. This is not, you guys are too young to remember this, but it was probably 30 years ago. They closed off, not Main Street, but First Street First Street and First Avenue, and they paved it all over. You don't realize this, but there's some streets down there that you can drive. Now the ones that are all crowded up actually were all bricked up in a huge patio. Out there in front of the library, between the library and the courthouse, you couldn't drive there. Well, what happened was, after about a week of this,
people smashing into the patio.
No, it wasn't that. But I mean, what happened was, there was such an incredible. They wanted to make this big, huge, pedestrian friendly patio, a la someplace in Europe or whatever it was. And after about a week or so, they had problems, and it took them about a year, maybe 2 years, and they tore it up and put the roads back at unparalleled expense. I mean, it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is back 30 years ago when money was actually worth a little bit more than it is today per dollar basis. But they made this huge patio, gorgeous, whatever it was, and then they had to tear it all up and put the roads back in. So, I mean, here's another. They don't learn from their mistakes. This is like one block over from there. Geniuses.
Doubling down.
Well, again, one of the things that you, as I say, the whole genetic flaw in all this is trying to put everything from pedestrians, cats, dogs, whatever it is, up through multi-ton trucks and buses in the same artery, it's just, you're asking for trouble. You are asking for trouble. And now they've got, right now, they put stoplights. They got they're nuts on the road bumps or whatever, the traffic calming.
Oh, my God.
The circles, the little tiny circlets.
Curbs everywhere,
and that's their new thing, is just to stick a curb suddenly out in the middle of the road.
Right. You know, they've actually blocked off an entire road. There's this road, Archer Road, of course, is the main artery here. There's another old Archer Road,
right,
which parallels it, and it's smaller. It connects a bunch of apartment complexes. You can't get there from the southwest because of the curb.
Right.
You have to drive literally 20 blocks.
Right. And do a U-E.
Right.
And the whole deal. No, it's unbelievable. No,
whereas it was just a left-hand turn.
Yeah.
It was just too close to an intersection for their
Now, of course, we've gotten to the point now where even not so much during rush hour, and of course, with the Christmas season coming up, it's going to be interesting. The lights here in this town, the traffic geniuses that put this stuff together, because there's no synchronization in this town, but even if there were, it wouldn't make any difference because the lights are so close together that you back up through lights.
Right.
And you can see your light turn green, 10 cars up, and you're not going anywhere. You're sitting there through another light cycle, at least, at a minimum. Mm-hmm. And Lord save you if you want to make a left-hand turn in some of these places because you can't get to the left-hand turn lane through.
Well, that's another thing they did. They changed the sequence at the biggest artery in town, University and 13th Street. They changed the sequence of whether the turn lane goes before the straight lane.
Oh, yeah?
And so what's happened is now they let the straight lane go first, but what that's done is the turn lanes back up so far that they bleed into the straight lane.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So if you...
They do that in a bunch of places around here.
Right. So if you're going straight, you have to wait for the turn lane to go, for the people to get out of your way.
Yeah, there's a half a dozen places like that here in town.
That's planning.
That's planning.
They've got it all planned now so that you can't... So the intersection's about half
as efficient. Ideally, of course, what a person should have done maybe... And, of course, the problem is that they own the roads. Ideally, of course, if it was private roads, you might have a way to have roads that were only for bicycles and roads that were only for pedestrians and roads that were only for cars and trucks or whatever.
Well, the market would figure it out, whatever.
The market would figure it out, right. We'd probably be using, Luke Skywalker
hover vehicles
or something, sure. Anti-grav, whatever. Come on.
Thank you, Thomas Jefferson. Or what was Two Star of the Road program?
The biggest one was Eisenhower.
Yeah, that was the biggest one. That was the big one. That was the interstate. Yeah, well, that was, and that was, you know, and that was a SOP. They did it on based on defense, but it was really the road people got a hold of Ike on that one. Boy, that was a way to stay elected, and that was, you know,
that's why
of course
he's
the one that also appointed Earl Warren to the Supreme Court, which was a
yikes.
Yeah, which was really. Well, yeah. you talk about something that unintended consequence. Even Ike knew that when they asked him, asked him after he was out of office, they said, "What were the biggest mistakes you ever made?" He says, "Well, the two biggest mistakes I ever made are still on the Supreme Court."
Right.
Oh God.
So,
I've got some legal updates.
Okay,
at some
let's
point.
Go. Yes, good.
Okay, you want to do a couple of these?
Yeah, shit, because I got one new law they want to pass here locally. It's about texting.
All right. Is this my Miami Vice?
Boston Legal.
Oh, Boston Legal. Oh, okay. I thought it was Jan Hammer there for a second.
No, I like
it. So, okay. A couple of legal things here. First of all, some baristas, some girl baristas were arrested and accused of prostitution, okay?
What's a barista?
They were serving coffee, like a little coffee shop, like a Starbucks.
Okay.
Okay?
I thought it sounded like barrister, but that's not what it is.
Yeah, no. And so...
Well, they were nude, though, right?
Yeah, they would take off their clothes if you tipped them extra.
Okay.
Okay?
What's it, where is this?
I thought you were going to say, what crime?
Where is this?
You know, this was up north somewhere, and I don't have the location. Dang, that sucks. But, here's the two things that got me on this. A, so what? I mean, you know, how prudish is the community getting, okay? Number two, the police investigated this for 2 months.
Ha! I bet they did.
We gotta go back, we're going to need $50 in investigation money.
It's
selling donuts there, too.
We got to make sure. You know what? I tell you what. Let's send some other officers over there to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2 months? You know, if it was really such harm to the community, 2 months?
Yeah.
Give me a break, man. I mean, there was complaints. The DA says that two girls put a whipped cream show on.
Yeah.
Wow.
And where was it? We don't even know where this was. Well, of course, it's too late now.
Yeah, no. Serious criminal charges.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right.
Well, speaking let you. I got one other thing. The Rhode Island governor has closed the loophole on prostitution in Rhode Island. Did you know that indoor prostitution was legal in Rhode Island, the only other state besides some of the counties in.
Oh, yeah. If it was in your own home, it was cool.
Well, or inside it had to be. Apparently, Rhode Island Governor Don Carlucci signed legislation closing a loophole that made indoor prostitution legal and allowed more than 30 suspected brothels to operate around the state. The bill signed today ended Rhode Island's status as the only state that allowed indoor prostitution statewide. And, of course, it's legal in some parts of Nevada. The new law took effect immediately. He praised the new law as a step forward and ended Rhode Island's terrible distinction. Rhode Island lawmakers inadvertently created the loophole in 1980 when they passed a law cracking down on prostitutes and their customers who operated in public, but it was silent on paid sex in private. Well, of course, one of the things is in 1980, and here it is almost 28 years of horrible
Rhode Island's gone
Rhode Island down the toilet.
Yeah.
28 years, how much damage has been done?
Man.
And, you know,
generation lost, Jimmy.
Lost. I just, you know, the whole thing about this is laughable. And, of course, the beauty of prostitution, though, is...
What the beauty is.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Jimmy, what I want to know is, did they do the investigation for all 31 years or whatever it is?
I'm confident they did. I mean, you know, there are some people...
Let's investigate this with Viagra.
That have been investigating for 28 years. Yep, it still works.
I'm not believing this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and check again.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and check again. But what's interesting is because what you would call prostitution or escort service has become so much more available since the internet. Woohoo!
Which is nice.
You know, I mean, City Vibe or Backpage or whatever it is.
We got that going for us.
Oh, okay. Well, just start laming them out. We'll link to them.
Yeah. No, I mean, daily, you know, what you can do is you can have a...
You want our hits to really go up next month?
Yeah.
I'll just list them all out on the Jimmy Doan homepage.
7 million right. hits last month.
If you forget where to go to look for prostitutes, just go to JimmyDoan.com. There'll be a whole list there, a whole hyperlink.
And, all Jimmy's favorites.
That's right.
All,
it's, right. With the reviews and photos.
Right.
Not of Jimmy.
Right. Jimmy gets a commission off some of this.
I wish.
Yeah, no, well, no.
Well, one thing that another part of our wonderful government, did you hear that they want to, the FDA wants to ban the sale of raw oysters from the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes. Unbelievable. I mean, Apalachicola,
gone. F-U.
Yeah.
Right, that's right. Apalachicola, that's what they...
The Gulf region supplies about two-thirds of U.S. oysters, and some people in the $500 million industry argue that the antibacterial procedures are too costly.
I tell you what, if they do that, somebody's going to get a truckload of some freaking... Some stinky oysters.
Stinky oysters. More like a plane drop.
Plane drop, man.
I mean, it's really unbelievable. I love oysters.
Oh, man, I remember so the craziest step I ever heard was at one point in New York City, the FDA or the New York Food Administration put a ban on sunny-side up eggs.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We covered it on the show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they took it back in like 2 weeks. But it was
actually,
like,
that's amazing.
I mean, everybody lost their minds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's eggs. It's sunny side up eggs.
Yeah.
And this is the same kind of thing. It's oysters. They've been eating them here for freaking 5,000 years.
Right. I mean,
well, of course, what they're claiming is that the runoff pollution, man-made runoff pollution has ruined, you
child,
know.
Child, please.
Yeah, we see more people die each year from peanuts, chicken, E. coli, beef. He says
yeah.
It's like singling out a certain section of the food industry.
It
well, that's
is.
Kinda, that, but that they're that you know that's what they do.
It
they
is.
Pick them off one at a time.
Well, yeah,
that's exactly
on the
right.
List.
The oyster lobby is not strong.
Not strong. They haven't paid their money.
No.
Yeah. Well, another horrible food thing, Jolt Cola may stop production and close.
Oh, horrible!
I mean, that's pretty
Why?
Bad. Well, one of them, they don't sell Jolt here in Gainesville, do they?
Yeah, that's a problem.
They could
double their sales.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, especially
it's
when
all the sugar and twice the caffeine. And, I mean, it was a great study drink.
I mean, when you think about what they get for the boost and stuff like that, it's like $3 or $4 for a little tiny can of this stuff, and it's mostly caffeine. What are you
they
talking about?
They tried it. I don't know.
I don't understand.
No, I mean, the other stuff, boost and some of the
oh,
other
yeah,
ones.
That, oh, yeah, those are big.
They're selling them in the
big time.
Walgreens or whatever. Who would buy that?
Kids
I
trying to get
understand.
A buzz.
Yeah,
it's legal speed.
Maybe they figured out
it's just caffeine.
Well, no. Some of them are like you know, ginseng and yohimbine root and whatever. You know, some little combination.
Maybe if you mix like the green one and the red one together, like some chemical reaction.
Well, yeah,
happens.
You know, or if you snort some cocaine first.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. That works too.
Right, then it feels just like cocaine.
I found if you dissolve a little ecstasy in there,
right.
Boost you right up.
Boost you right
See?
Up. No, they've just been folding to the pressures of drinks like, you know, Red Bull.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So anyway, it's been around since 1985.
Well,
anyway,
Red Bull really snaped the market, man.
It was advertising. I mean, you think about it. My God.
Yeah, I mean, I love Jolt Cola, but actually one day when I was hitchhiking up to college, I got picked up by the vice president of Jolt Cola Company. And
was she hot?
No, it was a dude, but he was like, you look kind of harmless, and so, you know, I was wearing my Hawaiian shirt, you know, whatever, hey, I'm going to college, so we just had a great talk. I says, man, I just love your product, it's so cool, I mean, I'm in college, what else do you drink, you know?
What else do you drink?
don't ask.
I eat pizza, I drink Jolt Cola.
So anyway, I don't know if you, I don't know what to tell you, man, it sucks.
Awful.
Yeah, that's awful.
Another, let me give you another awful. Here's what happens when you leave... The charging documents in the hands of the prosecutor, okay? They tried to charge a man with mayhem, okay? And give him, which is a life sentence, all right?
What?
For permanent and painful disfigurement. Are you ready? You want to know what he did?
I don't know. He cut off his...
No. He let his 7-year-old get a tattoo.
Whoa.
He let his 7-year-old get a tattoo. So there's your permanent and painful disfigurement.
Yeah.
As interpreted by
the prosecutor.
Fortunately, the judge threw that out.
God almighty, how much time would the guy have gotten for that, I wonder?
7 to 10.
Gee. Can you imagine? I mean, what?
No, no. I think he's facing 7 to 10 right now for the child endangerment that he pled to.
Oh, my.
They were going for something that would have been life.
Can you?
For letting his child get a tattoo.
I mean, seriously. You can't. I mean, I say seriously, you can't be serious.
Yeah.
They've gone crazy. What is the prosecutor thinking?
They're thinking they might be able to prove that it's painful and it's permanent and it's some kind of disfigurement.
Yeah, but
it ain't.
You know, I mean, look, how about
they're protecting the children here.
Yeah. What about circumcision, for God's sakes? You know, that's permanent disfigurement.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody.
Don't bring it up.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll come back with part two of our
November. Jimmy Dome. Have we done an hour?
Yep.
Okay.
November 10th, 2009.
Yep. Day after the Berlin Wall and the day before the Armistice Day.
There we go.
I'm waiting.